Hello, welcome to the Monday, May 18th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Just a quick update on Venom, which was the vulnerability in QEMU floppy disk drivers that caused a lot of press last week. Well, still not a lot about this, really. There is now a proof of concept, but that's really just a denial of service. It does not actually cause the all-feared virtual machine breakout. So at this point, I wouldn't really sweat it too much. Patch it as you get to it. There are patches available for all the affected virtualization platforms, so certainly get them rolled out there after you properly test and validate these patches. As Rick put it in a diary today, no need to panic, but it is important. It's certainly something that needs to be addressed. In particular, of course, if you do offer virtual machines to the public where anybody could get a virtual machine, gets root on it, and then could use this exploit to then pivot to different virtual machines. And then we got a little bit more details about the supposed plane hack by Chris Roberts. If you remember, he was arrested after tweeting about hacking the plane he was flying in as a passenger. Now, in an FBI affidavit that was now released to the public, he's quoted as stating in an interview with the FBI that he actually has compromised plane systems several times in the past while he was flying on commercial flights, and in this latest one was able to actually send a climb command to one of the engines. So this was a two-engine plane, and one of these engines he was essentially able to increase the thrust on, which then caused the plane to fly slightly sideways. According to Chris Roberts, he wasn't really quoted quite right. That is sort of, as he put it, compressed 2 years of work he was doing into one paragraph. Now, this FBI statement was a part of an affidavit made to obtain a search warrant. We don't know yet at this point what the search warrant turned up. Essentially, they asked for a court order in order to investigate various electronic devices that were used. And spyware company mSpy was apparently breached, and records collected from users were leaked on a torrent site. mSpy is essentially software that you install on kids or spouses' systems in order to figure out what they're doing with their mobile devices. It works on iPads, iPhones, but also on Windows Mobile and Android devices. Of course, the data collected from these devices is then uploaded to mSpy, and this data repository now got apparently leaked. And McAfee did release the results of a phishing quiz that they put up together with CBS News. Apparently, only 3% of individuals who took that quiz did identify all 10 emails correctly. Now, some of these emails are phishing emails. Some of them are not. Some of them are real emails. To get 100% score, you have to identify all of them correctly. I actually just took the quiz, and I missed one where they actually used some legitimate links, some fake links within the email. So if you don't check all the links, then you misidentify this email. Going through the test, one of the things I found difficult and something that may have given them this low score of people who identified these emails correctly is that you don't have context to these emails. Most of the banking phishing emails and such, well, I delete without even looking at them because they come from a bank I don't bank with, which of course makes it a lot easier then to identify them as fake. For a couple of the real emails in this phishing test, I found it really hard to identify them as real. Sort of my initial reaction was actually more that they were phishing, because they did show some of the phishing traits, but then actually turned out to be real once I looked at the links more closely. A couple of weeks ago, I did mention fishing, and someone posted an interesting comment about this, stating that the most successful phase for a phishing email is about the first few minutes after it, which is released. Once it does start flooding people's mailboxes, then of course it becomes more obvious that this is a phishing email. And as a reminder, if you are attending Sans Fire, it starts in pretty much about a month from today. We added a new evening session where I'll be present and maybe a couple other people from the team here, where we sort of go over how to contribute data, how to help us out at the Internet Storm Center. So if you happen to attend Sans Fire, try to look up this session, and well, it will be pretty much hands-on, sort of not much of a formal presentation, where we go over some of the little clients and such that you can install on systems to contribute logs to our database. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.